Happy New Year, friend. I hope that you were able to take a break over the holidays. I know the last month of the year is always pretty busy for all of us, whether it's personal stuff or we're getting our shops and businesses ready for the end of the year. So I hope that you had plenty of time for some rest and relaxation. We're back on the podcast with a new episode, and this week's episode is a real treat. I have Ashley Sutton from Hustle and Hope. Ashley is a Paper Camp alumni, and she's been featured in a few of our compilation episodes in the past. She was on episode 285, where we talked in person at New York Now while she was exhibiting. And she was on episode 358, where she shared how much her business has grown since taking Paper Camp. But a standalone interview with her has been long overdue, and so I'm excited to share today's episode with you. Ashley is a corporate gal turned entrepreneur. Her career began with marketing and developing the perfect shade of lipstick for Avon, to creating buzzworthy toys at Mattel, and crafting unforgettable marketing campaigns for leading TV shows for children such as Peppa Pig and PJ Masks. She's also creating the number one best-selling marketing campaigns for authors at Penguin Random House. As a stationery lover and a consumer products professional, her goal was to channel her career experience into a product with purpose, and that is how she founded Hustle and Hope, the first two-in-one motivational greeting card company that includes free digital guides with every single card. A certified minority and certified woman-owned business, Hustle and Hope has retail placement at Bye Bye Baby, World Market, Home Goods, Amazon, and over 45 other shops across the U.S. Today, Ashley shares Hustle and Hope's origin story. She talks about her experience participating in the Target Accelerator program. And we talk about how she's been utilizing grants for her business, including how she got started applying for grants, what she looks for, and how these grants have benefited her business. She also shares resources in case you want to get started applying for grants for your business. Before we dive in, today's episode is brought to you by our Retailer Roundtable interview series. To make a strong first impression with wholesale buyers, we need to do a few things really well. We need to make it easy for stores to purchase from us. We need to have clear pricing and terms and conditions, and we need to clearly communicate and add value at every touch point. But all of this becomes infinitely easier when we actively listen to our customers. Now, this on-demand retail roundtable interview series lets you be a fly on the wall, where retailers are answering the most common questions that we hear inside of our Paper Camp program. You'll learn how they like to be pitched, how much follow-up is too much, and how to put your best foot forward when reaching out to wholesale accounts. You will gain a clearer understanding of what buyers need and, most importantly, what they want from you as a wholesale seller. And the best part, it's only $27. So get access at prooftoproduct.com/unlock. That's prooftoproduct.com/unlock.
I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Hey, Ashley, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hello, hello. I'm so excited to be here.
I am so thrilled to have you. You have been a part of a few compilation episodes. It was episode, for our listeners here, it was 285. It was when we talked at New York Now. And then—
Yes. Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Yeah. And then you were also in 358, where we talked about how your business has grown since you took Paper Camp. And so this is the first solo segment that we're having the opportunity to talk. And oh my gosh, it's long overdue. I'm so happy to have you.
Me too. I mean, I feel like I have been clamoring, trying to like get on your podcast.
Oh,
like,
girl, no.
I feel like I've been so busy. And I was like, no, I got to make this happen because Katie is like a rock star. And I'm not going to lie, a goal of mine was to get a solo episode. So I mean,
here you are. And it's benefiting me and our listeners. Oh, this is going to be such a good one. I can't wait.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
For our listeners that aren't familiar with your brand, tell us about yourself and your business, what you sell. Tell us all the things.
Yes. So as Katie mentioned, I'm Ashley Sutton, and I am the founder of Hustle and Hope. And we are the first two-in-one motivational greeting card company to include free digital guides with every single card. And so what that looks like is, I'm just going to grab a card. I've got this one card that's like, women win, we all win. And you scan the back and it comes with a free guide to affirmations and really like hyping yourself up, you know, during those moments where you're like not feeling the best, right? And then we've got thank you cards that come with a free guide on how to practice gratitude. Our graduation cards come with a free job search guide for the graduate that you're giving it to, right? Because what's the one thing graduates are looking for? They're looking for jobs. They're looking for how to get paid, how to negotiate. Yep. And it comes with all of that. So all of our cards come with something that is relevant to the theme in which the card is surrounding it.
Ashley, I love this concept. I've seen people do like digital guides for how to give the card or what to write in a card. So for example, mm-hmm. if I was to give you a birthday card or let's do thank you. I was to give you a thank you card and like, you don't know what to say. Like I've seen people give like prompts that then you could use to write your card. But I like that this is more tailored towards the recipient that is going to then keep the card and hopefully scan that QR code for further affirmations. Yes. And so it gives it more longevity in life.
Yeah. I just wanted to bring something new to the mailbox.
I like that.
Because, you know, like, listen, let's be real. Greeting cards is in the US a nearly $7 billion industry, right? Take into account that this, you know, nearly $7 billion industry hasn't really been innovated in since music and pop-ups, right? And I love pop. I think they're great. They took pop-ups to another level, but still, we're still playing in this kind of like pop-up stage, right? And so I, with my corporate background, right, in CPG and brand marketing product, I said, what's the white space? And for those of you that don't know what white space is, it just means opportunity. Where can I jump in and splash a little color? And so I saw the white space being that oftentimes these cards get thrown away. We're adding them to landfills. They're barely getting recycled. People take the money, they chunk, they leave, it's done, right? And so I really, like you said, I wanted to extend this experience for the recipient. But also, there's this kind of stigma sometimes that, oh, you just got a greeting card, like it's a cheap gift or something. And one, greeting cards are so personal. They're very thoughtful. Even though it's an impulse purchase, right? They're a very thoughtful and kind thing to do. Think about it. You're like, oh, I gotta go grab something. You don't just walk into the store and grab the first card you get. No. You read the text. You look at the colors. If it makes you laugh, if it makes you, right? It makes you feel something. So not only did I want to extend the value for the recipient, I wanted the purchaser to feel like they were giving something of value to.
Love this, Ashley. I love this. I have goosebumps on my arms. So as I'm listening to you, I think one of the biggest challenges that especially people in the greeting card world have when we talk about their positioning in the market, their unique selling point, they say, I'm just a greeting card designer. And it's like, no, you're building connection and you're the emotion behind it. And I don't say that to diminish anyone because I know we've all been stuck at different times of how am I different? You know, how do I articulate that? But you have done such a beautiful job of articulating not just the value of the product somebody's purchasing, but then the longevity of that and how you're making it so experiential. So thank you, one, for creating this.
Thank you.
But then two, for articulating it so beautifully for everyone here.
I might need to grab that clip. I'm like, oh, I don't think I've ever like said it like that before. My God, I love that. Anywho.
We'll give you the clip to put on your website. It'll go on your about page or something.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I have to say, you are one of the strongest marketers I've ever seen. And I think a lot of that ties to your networking capabilities too and your corporate background. I think you bring a really cool energy and different perspective to how you're promoting your products. And I also see you ruthlessly like connecting with people and putting yourself in rooms where you can find future opportunities. And I say that with so much respect and kindness because I admire it greatly. But one of the things you've recently done is that you participated in the Target Accelerator program. So can you share with our listeners and myself like what that is and how you got selected?
Yes, I'm going to take you on just a little bit of a journey. And sorry for the people that follow me on social, you've seen this story before. But to the new folks, I actually applied to the Target. First, let me back up. The Target Accelerators program is literally put on by Target, the mass retailer. They created this program because they really wanted to pour into small businesses, founders, owners that are out there doing incredible things. They're super innovative, or they're just bringing something a little bit fresh, a new and fresh take on something. And so they said, we're going to create these programs that help to kind of funnel you through so that you can understand what it's like to go to a mass store, right? To get your product into a mass store. They never guarantee that you're going to get on Target shelf. So I always want to preface it with that. That'd be very dangerous, right? And also really expensive when you think about it, right? Mm-hmm. So they created these programs. One was called Target Takeoff. The other was called Forward Founders. I originally applied for Forward Founders back in 2021, I believe.
And that program was for...
That was for Target Accelerators Forward Founders.
But so who was that one more aimed at?
Oh, yes. So that one, the Forward Founders, is for folks that maybe have, like, they've got a business, but they've seen more traction online, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe on Fair for a couple of, like, indie shops and gift shops, but they haven't been in mass retail yet, or they haven't gotten like that large PO, right?
Yep.
And then there might be a couple of folks that are in a couple of stores, you know, handful, but they haven't really kind of reached the mass retail landscape.
Okay.
Yet.
And then what was the second tier that you mentioned? Who was that one for?
Yes. And then the other tier that they had at the time was Target Takeoff. And that was for brands that are, they've been scaling, right? They are ready to take it to the next level. They probably already have some major stores under their belt, and Target is going to help take them through this pipeline so that they can really probably strengthen supply chain, logistics, and then kind of make sure that they're strengthening their brand overall so that they can really scale as they get into mass. So those are the programs.
Those are the programs. And you first applied, you said, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just wanted some clarity on those tracks. Okay. So you applied for the first time in 2021. What happened?
Yes. I got straight up rejected. Okay. Oh. It's not a game, Katie. Yes, my heart sank. I felt personally rejected, right? I was like, oh man, this brand is not going anywhere. I'm not good enough. Like, you know, all the things, you know, you're trying to self-deprecate. My mom always says, you give yourself 24 hours to feel what you need to feel.
Yep.
And I did. And then that next day I was like, you know what? They were right. They were right to reject me because I wasn't ready. It was 2021. Mind you, I didn't do my first trade show. When did we meet? Until 2022.
Yeah, 2022.
So, and I hadn't landed any major retail store. I was barely in like two stores at the time, right? Like, I was not ready. And it's hard to hear that you are not ready. Mm-hmm. But if you are a person who is capable of hearing constructive feedback, but also applying said constructive feedback to making yourself better, you're going to get it. Yes. Because in 2023, I applied. Literally, I was like, you know what? I feel like I'm ready. I've done the work. I've built out my products. I started off my line with 8 cards in the line. Okay, 8, as you know. I grew my product development. I invested back into the business. I started doing more marketing, albeit organic. I still haven't really done a full-on paid advertising campaign. And I said, I'm going to reapply. Thank you. I said, I'm going to reapply. And that's exactly what I did. It was the, I think, 2 days, Katie, before I left for New York now, that I applied. And I kept waiting until the 11th hour because I was like waffling between, do I want to apply again? Do I not? Because the fear of rejection, right?
Which was real. I mean, you already put yourself out there and then felt uncomfortable with that. Yeah, I get it.
And I was like, you know what? No, Ashley, this is your year. And so I applied. I wrote probably one of the best essay responses I had written in a long time. It's like, this is what I'm doing. And then I hadn't heard back. And it's funny because it was the summer. I was volunteering for this like youth entrepreneurship thing. And I get this email. And it's like, actually, no, it was spring. I get this email and it's like, we would like to invite you for an interview. And I was like, what? Oh my God. So now in my mind, I'm like, I've made it to a finalist round. I've made it to a finalist round. That's good enough for me. They see some promise. Like, that's it. So that's I quickly DM'd another woman that I knew that had gone through the program. I was like, oh, hey, is it normal for them to like interview you after like, you know, whatever? And she's like, yeah, just, and she gave me some tips. So I had my interview. I was on Martha's Vineyard. I don't know if you know anything about Martha's Vineyard. It's a woodsy area.
No service, huh?
I had service, but what I tell you was,
oh,
it was
no.
The spottiest. I was like, you know what? So I told them politely, I was like, and here's the thing. Most people would get so flustered during that situation because, you know, oh my God, this is my big break. I'm like having this interview, but you got to be easy. So I politely told them, I said, you know what? I'm not going to ruin this shot with you all. If you don't mind, you've seen my face for the first 10 seconds. I'm going to turn my camera off and let's just do audio. And they're like, oh my God, I've been to Martha's Vineyard plenty of times. I know how spotty it is. And it was fine. Right. But if you look scared, if you show scared, then that energy, right? Think about someone that may be potentially be investing in you one day.
Yeah.
If they see that you get flustered at the tiniest thing, what happens when supply chain breaks down in 1 week? What happens when the orders don't come through? So it's more than just, oh, my Wi-Fi is out. They are assessing how you're going to handle a sticky situation.
Yeah.
So, you know, I keep my camera off and you know what? The interview goes well and that's it. I hadn't heard back. And then I get this email in the summer and they're like, we need a second interview. So I hit up my friend again. I'm like, is it normal for a second interview? And they're like, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. So I get on and it was totally a fake out. They were like, we just have one last question for you. How would you like to be accepted into the Target Foundation?
Oh my goodness.
Yes. And Tahaji Felder, she was our program lead for Target Accelerators. And she, like from day one, when I met her on that call, she was the prankster on that call. And from that day, I was just like, your energy, like you want us to succeed. There are some programs that are created and they do it because like maybe they get a tax break. But this woman wanted to be there to help us. She was just so thrilled naturally, organically for us. And I just like, I loved her. So I got my acceptance and over 5,000 people applied.
Wow.
Over 5,000 people applied and they selected 30 of us, I think. Actually, 30 across the nation.
This is incredible. I knew this was like a really big deal, but I hearing you tell the story and how long the process was and
oh my God.
30 brands out of 5,000 is insane. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, my mouth, I mean, I'm to this day, it's been a year now and I'm still like shocked. I'm just like, wow, little old me. Who would have thought?
Right? I know. Little old you, but doing big things, doing big things. Well, that's awesome. I mean, it's been really fun to watch your stories and your business blossom through
Thank you.
I mean, it was really fun to see the growth you had earlier in your business with us through Paper Camp and just how you've completely, as I mentioned earlier, you're like this incredible networker and like seeker of opportunity. And what you're talking about of how you're navigating tough situations too, that says a lot about character. It says a lot about how you'll be as a business owner. And I don't know, you're just very impressive. So I do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It ain't easy, but.
No, you make it look easy, but I know it's not easy.
Uh-huh.
I want to shift gears a little bit because one of the topics we discuss a lot inside of like labs and our Paper Camp community this year has been how to get more working capital for things like product development and marketing and just general operations, right? And you have taken a really unique approach to this. So I'd like to dive into grants, and you've been applying for and you've received some pretty sizable grants to help fund your business. So first off, congrats on that. But secondly, of course. But secondly, I feel like grants are an overlooked option for small businesses, particularly in the consumer gift world. What prompted you to look into grants as a funding option?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I've always kind of had my ear to the street in terms of entrepreneurship competition. So the background there is when I was in high school, I was a part of this program through the NAACP called the AXO program. And at the time, it was for 9th through 12th grade high school students of color. And you got to write a full business plan and create a presentation, like on a slide deck. At the time, I'm showing my age. Oh my God. It was on the...
People still use deck. That's okay.
Oh my God. Like the projector slide. Yeah, that's how old it was. Okay. And then if you got the gold medal, which was first place locally, then you got flown out to the national competition to then compete against every other gold medal entrepreneurship student across the nation. And so you would then have to give a 5-minute verbal oral presentation on your business. Mm-hmm. And then again, you would either not win or win bronze, silver, or gold. And I ended up being like the first freshman, they said, in my local chapter to win the gold medal. And then I went to nationals and I won silver every year until my senior year. Still bitter about that, but that's okay. Still bitter. No, I'm just kidding. It ended up being the most wonderful thing. But even though I will never forget my sophomore year, even though I didn't win first place, I won second. This woman comes around the corner and she says, oh, we wanted to chat with the winner. We have an opportunity. We would love to present to you. And I was like, oh, no, I'm not the first place winner. Like, I'm second. And I pointed over there. I forget her name at the time. She was great. And she's like, well, weren't you the one with the fashion design company? And I was like, oh, yeah. She's like, no, we want to talk to you. And I was like, oh, okay. And this was my first lesson in just because you don't get number one doesn't mean you haven't won.
Yes.
And it ended up being an editor from Black Enterprise Magazine. And they wanted to fly me and my mom out to the Teenpreneur Conference that was alongside the Black Enterprise Entrepreneurship Conference. All expenses paid, hotel, flight, and they gave me a shopping stipend just in case I wanted to get stuff. Wow. And we learned how to develop our pitches even more. We networked with people. I met a ton of great people, one of which I still talk to today. And so I learned very early on the power of connection and the power of being able to give a good pitch. Mm-hmm. So I went into Hustle and Hope being ready to find pitch contests and opportunity. But I wasn't really looking at the time for like grants where you have to write and like... So my first grant application for the business, I don't know. I can't even remember what it was for. I did not get it. And I started saving my responses.
Smart.
So that I could go back over and say what worked, what didn't work. And then I will never forget, I think this came before, but my very first grant that I won was I think it was the Ally Daring to Disrupt. So they were looking for women who were like innovating and disrupting an industry. And I put my video in, I did my submission, blah, blah, blah. And I hadn't heard anything. And I was like, oh man, like that means I didn't get it. And it's like a Tuesday night, I will never forget. I think it's like 7:30 p.m. Eastern. I get a phone call and it is Andrea Brimmer, Chief Marketing Officer of Ally Bank. And she says, I just wanted to let you know, we were all so impressed with you. Congratulations. You've won the $10,000 prize for daring to disrupt in your industry. My mouth, like I wish I had somebody following me for footage because one, I had been applying to so many things and hadn't gotten them. Mm-hmm. I mean, for every win you see on my page, there's literally 100 losses. You know, I know people see, oh my gosh, she's doing this, she's doing that. Yeah. And I also like did blood, sweat, and tears for a million other applications. Yeah. So this was the first big grant I had won. And I was like, oh my God, like this is a thing. So then I got the bug and then I applied again. There's this foundation that I love for founders of color, Black founders called New Voices Foundation. And they had this pitch opportunity that was actually in conjunction with, foreshadowing here, Target, the Target Accelerators program. So I just decided to apply to that. I got like runner up, but even runner up got $5,000. Amazing. So I was like, all right, I'm on a roll here. That was 2021. 2022 hit. Man, it all went downhill. It was like everything I applied for, it was just like a no, 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 no. And then finally, I think towards the end of the year, I think I won like one small little grant. So then I took a step back and I was like, let's look at the winning responses and let's see how we can recreate this for the next year. And man, when I tell you last year, I was on a freaking roll. I was winning stuff left and right. I was like, anything available. I was like, let me write, let me do a video, let me do this, let me do that. It is so critical to get free money for your business.
Yeah.
This is not a stake in equity. Someone gives you a $10,000 grant, $10,000 grant. Now, granted, you got to pay taxes on it a lot of times. They'll send you a 1099 in the mail or whatever, right? But they're not asking for a 10% equity for $10,000. This isn't a loan where they give you $10,000 and you got to pay back 22% interest. No, no, it's just $10,000.
Yeah.
So I, for the life of me, I don't know why more of us, particularly in our stationery community, where we do need it. People think, oh, it's just paper. It's like, no, no. Paper is expensive.
Yeah, all of it's expensive.
Packaging is expensive. Mm-hmm. The labor to put together, collate, especially if you've got a large PO, is expensive. Shipping is expensive. Getting inventory in bulk because you need it at a certain cost is expensive. Mm-hmm. So why not apply and take a chance and let somebody give you some free money? What?
Yes. It's like a no-brainer, right?
It's a no-brainer.
Put it that way. Okay.
Yeah.
Share with us, without giving away the secret sauce, what resources did you use to find grants that are the right fit for your business?
There's no secret. I'm not a gatekeeper. Listen, you can go on helloalice.com. You can go on Hello Skip, I think. It's either Hello Skip or skip.com, something like that.
Yeah.
And then I just like do like local searches. You can check your like local chambers of commerce. The more local, the better, because then you don't have to compete with everybody in the United States of America. Like, it's just like, who's in Tuscaloosa, right? Like, if Tuscaloosa is giving a grant away, like, and the population is, I don't know, 20,000, right? Like, you probably got a good chance versus the whole of the United States of 20 billion people or however many people, right?
Yeah.
So I think the more local, the better. SCORE, your local SCORE office. I will never, ever remember the acronym for SCORE, but I know it's like Center Entrepreneurship something. I have no idea. And then your local SBA office, like it's like Small Business Development Center. So SBDC, check there. Like everywhere there is an opportunity, check.
Yeah.
And if you are lucky to be certified, so if you're a certified woman-owned business or a certified minority-owned business, check those sites as well for pitch opportunities, grant opportunities.
One of my colleagues who has a product-based business, she intentionally went out and got certified as a woman-owned and a minority-owned business. They're two separate processes so that she could pitch for those grant dollars.
Exactly.
And it was worth it. I mean, it's not an easy process to get certified, but at the same time, it does open some of the additional doors. I want to reiterate what you said about the local money available, your city, your county, your state.
Yes.
There's a lot of opportunity there. And I think because the government stuff feels so like hard to navigate sometimes. If you look at their web pages and things, it's not always easy to find things. But yet there is money there too. So absolutely. Thank you for sharing all those resources. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like there are grant seasons or times of year that grants are open and accepting applications. I assume it has to do with the companies offering them and their budgets and their payment cycles and all that. But is that true? Are there seasons and what are they?
Oh, honestly, if something pops up, I'm like, okay, cool. I would venture to guess that it's typically anywhere from like end of Q1 through, you know, end of Q, let's say 2 or 3, and then it picks right back up around beginning of like Q4. So in October is probably when you saw your last big grant opportunity or something. And that's because they need to close out the books a lot of times. And then sometimes it's because when they distribute the money, right, they want to either tack it on to their P&L for this year or add it for next year, right? So, like, it just depends on what their financial structure looks like. But that's a whole other story.
That is a whole other conversation.
Like, I won that $25,000 grant last November, but I did not get it until 2024, which, to be fair, was wonderful for me because when I went to go do my taxes, right, I didn't have to report that because I didn't get it until 2024.
Yeah. Now you'll pay for it next year.
And now I'll pay for it this coming year. Yep. Which is just great. I was like, this would be the year of me. I won a lot of grants this year. So I'm like, my taxes, I'm like, Lord, please.
Well, hopefully you've been putting money aside, but even so, it's good. Let's talk about how you've utilized this money in your business. Yes. What kind of things have you applied it towards? Because, I mean, it's a significant amount of money.
Yeah. I mean, most of it has gone to inventory, like getting stuff printed up, getting it shipped out, especially for the larger orders. So, you know, I have home goods orders and it's kind of sporadic. It's not like it's on like every 3 weeks, we're going to order something from you. It's like, oh, here's a PO. And it's like, I got to get that. And paper costs have risen. So printing, the shipping, the packing, all that labor, right? And because most of it is done right now in the US, it's more expensive. And then I spend money on product development. So the actual design of the products. So the greeting card designs, the content that goes in the guide. When I first started, I was writing all the guides. I was doing all of that. That was a lot of work. And so hiring contractors, 1099s, right? That's what that went to. Hiring my very first creative director at the top of this year, you know, like contract, right? So it goes to a lot of different things that you couldn't imagine, right? And then paying back all of the friends and family loans got in the beginning because, you know, I'm like, it's startup phase. And I think that's part of, I'm not going to make assumptions, but I think for me, what I have seen, particularly with some of our like makers, it doesn't matter if it's stationary art or whatever, just a lot of the craftier makers, it's like they're not looking at themselves as though they are a business. And they are, you know, and at the end of the day, you paying more for something that you shouldn't pay more for because you haven't done your homework on like manufacturers and costs and this and that will hurt you in the long run. It will have you hating the very thing you love doing because you'll say, it's not making me any money. I don't know how I'm going to survive after this. Or I'm just doing it as a hobby because you haven't set yourself up as a business, right? And it just takes some basic classes and courses. You don't need an MBA.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
I have two, but I didn't need it. You know, I mean,
come on, who's counting?
I mean, I'm just going to say it did help me, but it also helps everyone else too.
Yes,
because
exactly.
My mind is then trained to do those things.
Yeah.
But back to what you were saying, I didn't mean to like put a little flex in there, but, or maybe.
I love a good flex.
But my point is, this is why I started Proof to Product. I was in the industry looking around going, okay, there's such talented artists in this community. Why are they not treating this like a business? There's so much more opportunity for them there. And so my business brain went into overdrive of like, oh my gosh, you know, and I need to help them. And also I was a self-taught artist. So I'm like, I need their help. Let's you help me. I'll help you. It'll be great.
Yes.
So I'm glad that you said that because I think there's no shame in having a hobby business if that's what someone wants.
Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
If we are truly going to make this a business that we want to be our sole income, that we want to make a bigger impact in the world, like then we do need to put our CEO hat on and we need to treat it as such. And we need to be
absolutely
researching these details, mindful of our budget, every penny that goes out and every penny comes in, like, you know, really keeping track of all of that. So I appreciate you saying that and also sharing like kind of your evolution with that as a business owner too.
Yeah. And I want to go back to really quickly, just the grant applications. So I know the way I explained that seemed like, oh, it's a no-brainer. You just got to do it. I'm not a BSU, right? Like it takes time to fill out an application. That's why I save my responses. I don't copy paste because sometimes all of them ask the same question, but a little bit differently. And so you want to make sure that you're answering the questions from each of the grant opportunities that you have accurately. So I say that to say that, like, your first grant application is probably going to be tough. But after you keep doing some more and get feedback, right? Like, especially if you've got, let's say, proof to product folks, like, drop it in the Facebook chat. Just ask people, like, hey, what do you think of my responses? And then you'll be surprised how helpful people want to be. Like, I literally started, I don't know, I think I told you, but I launched my coaching business just earlier this year. It's called Sutton Success League. And right now I'm doing like VIP solo clients right now. But in the new year, I want to do group coaching that's less of a price tag, right? Where I can get most people into a room. And one of the first things we're talking about, I did a survey to ask people what they wanted to learn about, was pitching and grants. So find people, doesn't have to be me, whatever, like find somebody that you can learn from that's done it so they can help you and maybe even put you in the hot seat to refine some of your responses and things like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Ashley, can we have that link to put in the show notes for your program on the grants? Yes. Because I think a lot of folks listening will be very interested in learning more about your option there.
Absolutely. Yeah, cool. Absolutely.
Awesome. So this kind of segues nicely in terms of, I was going to ask you what's coming up for 2025 for you and what you've got planned. You've already shared a little bit of that, but do you want to share what else are you working on?
Oh my gosh, man. For Hustle and Hope, I am really about to dig into e-com a little bit more. And that means new products. So we're going to be launching new products to the line. I'm really excited about. I'm using one of your contacts that I found in the Proof to Product Paper Camp Resource Guide. So I can't wait to share with you offline who that is. And then we are also, I'm actually finally going to be doing paid advertising campaign on all cylinders. So, and when I say that, I don't mean like I would boost a post here and there, or I would like run an ad. You know, I think the first real extensive ad campaign I did was for Afro Unicorn, which was this licensing deal that I did. And that got some really good traction, you know, but like really refining the target market and really keeping the campaigns longer than 30 days, right? So like, I'm talking a half a year of advertising. Okay. Got some money.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Lots.
And then lastly, I'm so excited. I'm going to be introducing a loyalty program.
Ooh.
Yes. So stay tuned. That probably won't hit until Q2, Q3, but yeah.
Well, you gotta pace yourself. You gotta
need to pace myself. It's a lot. And then for the Sutton Success League, I am still going to be taking clients. What I've realized is that even though I make more money on the like private coaching, I think I prefer more group coaching because I really want to help more people. And yeah. I'm not going to lie, I do want to help more women in one fell swoop. And I think I can do that easier if I do group coaching. And then we'll take it from there. And then I've got some other stuff down the pipe as well.
Awesome. You tease us.
Yes. Well, I can't wait. We'll have to do a follow-up.
I know. We'll have to do a follow-up. And then two, people need to follow you on social to find out what's going on. So tell everybody where they can find your website and your social links.
Yes. So you can find us on Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook at Hustle and Hope. And on our website, you can reach us at hustleandhopecards.com.
Awesome. Ashley, it is always such a joy to talk to you. Thank you for making the time for me today. Also, Ashley, I failed to mention this earlier when we were chatting at the front end of this episode, but like you've been a paper camp speaker a handful of times. And I will tell you, the students love your energy. They love your realness. They love how you are encouraging, but also like, hey, this is hard. This is hard. Yeah. And so just keep doing what you're doing because you are really spreading a lot of light and joy in this world. And just thank you for all your contributions to our community.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, you never have to worry about the realness for me. Listen, I know I'm an acquired taste, but it ain't never going to be fake over here.
Never. Well, Ashley, thank you again for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
It was so fun to chat with Ashley today. She's grown her business in strategic and thoughtful ways, leveraging not only her network of peers and mentors and coaches, but also getting creative with capital by applying for these grants. We've included all of Ashley's links in the show notes for you. Go give her a follow and let her know that you listened to her on Proof to Product. If you are looking for a community of product creators to help you grow your wholesale business, I want to invite you to join the waitlist for the 45th round of Paper Camp. Paper Camp is the longest running, most trusted wholesale program out there. If you're a product-based business owner who wants to grow significantly in your wholesale area, we're talking more stores, higher order values, consistent reorders, you are going to want to get on this waitlist. You can do that at prooftoproduct.com/papercamp. We've been in this wholesale game for a very long time, and there's a reason this coaching program has sold out for 44 rounds. It's because we focus on results. Brand new wholesalers come to us to get the foundations that they need to save themselves time and money. Experienced wholesalers rely on us to fill in the gaps that they miss trying things out on their own. Whether you are brand new to wholesale or already selling to dozens of stores, Paper Camp will help you get to your next wholesale level. You'll leverage our coaches, our comprehensive content, our proven systems, and our impactful community to build a profitable, sustainable wholesale brand. So head to prooftoproduct.com/papercamp to join that waitlist, and you'll get first access to tickets when we open registration. Again, that's prooftoproduct.com/papercamp. Thanks for hanging out with me and Ashley today. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I'll be back next week with a new episode.